Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry about this.
No worries.
You know, you think after 18 years in the business that an advisor would know the difference between net and gross. And I managed to mess that up. So I have a very dear friend, client that called me right at 11, or right before 11, with this issue.
Okay.
And I was getting that ironed out, and it involves an IRA. So in today's world, it's a little more complicated than it sounds. So,
sure.
But we got a fix. So,
okay. No worries.
Sorry, I had enough, y'all.
Okay.
Bridget's on. Audra cannot be on because her father is literally.
Oh boy, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he's having to get a tube put in for his. What they call it, like a colostomy bag or whatever.
Oh yeah, colonoscopy.
So she's down there with him today, taking care of that. And honestly, I was just coming into the office to print out a few reports before the call and make a few calls, and then I'm headed to go help with some of that.
She can always tune in on the recording at her convenience, and. You know, just give them my best and wish her well for me and she goes through this, so.
Well, we appreciate that, and I'm sorry for the, like I said, the late start today. It was Monday on Thursday, so.
You've got a lot built in your bank of trust, so don't worry about that.
Thank you. Things on your end.
Well, you know, things on my end are pretty good. Everybody, you know, you're not alone in the issues that you face. And, you know, my wife is battling. She's battling cancer. She's a young woman, and we're dealing with that.
I'm sorry to hear that. When did she get diagnosed?
Well, it was May of 2016, and then she was on chemo through November. It's colon cancer. And then we've had a few setbacks along the way, but we're shifting the medication, and we're just trying to manage through that. And the good news is that because a lot of the work I do is by phone, I work from home unless I'm out for speaking engagements or workshops. So I'm able to help a lot. But if you looked at her, you would look and see that, she's beautiful and that nothing's going on.
Wow.
Amazing, isn't it?
You know, and everybody knows somebody. Her name's Pat. Yeah.
Pat?
Patricia.
Pat.
Yep.
Patricia. She go by Patricia or Pat?
Pat.
Pat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So everybody knows somebody who's going through that.
Yeah, we have one client, I was talking to him this morning, he's been through 43 rounds of radiation and then just had a pacemaker put in last week that he didn't know was going to have to be put in. He's in his late 80s, but it's just one of those things. It's just, you never know when things are going to pop up. And it's just that you hope that the people that are going through it have a really strong net around them, those friends and
absolutely. Support. Support is very important. Yeah.
Very, very important. Because and I know, Audra had cancer. She didn't have colon cancer. She had thyroid cancer. And this was about 11 years ago. We had a one-year-old little boy at the time. And
wow.
She had a cancer diagnosis. And they're like, well, they told her it's a 99% chance that she didn't have cancer. They're like, we're just doing this. It's kind of like a procedural thing. And then they called her back up and said, yeah, you've got 3 tumors and they're all cancer. You've had them for 6 years. Just a very insidious form of cancer. She had no symptoms. She was perfectly healthy and normal, other than she had 3 tumors growing in her thyroid for 6 years. So,
pretty wild.
But,
so they had to go in and they had to take those out, yeah.
Yeah, take those out, and then she even had a surgery about a year ago. That's been about a year and 3 months ago. There were side effects from that treatment from 10 years ago. But she's doing great, and yeah, we'll keep passing our thoughts and, you know, prayers. Just hope that everything goes well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, look, to get on track here and talk about your business, you know, let's just kind of start with your agenda first and, you know, what's on your mind in terms of what we've covered thus far and if you have any concerns. And so give me a little update on how things are going. I pulled out your folder, and the update last time was really good in terms of the pensions that you've been opening up and the finding your niche markets and that sort of thing. And I wanted to, you know, look at that matrix that I sent you, and I put together a little blurb on corporate services so we could spend a moment or two on that as well. So,
okay.
Why don't you go first? Yeah.
So you want me to jump in?
Yeah. Why don't you go?
Okay. I think overall things are going pretty well. The COIs that we've been talking to have been really helpful. That's going in some cases maybe a little bit slower than I'd like, but still in a very positive direction.
Okay.
And I don't know how granular you want me to get as far as details, but we have one COI who's a CPA, and he's a partner in a firm, and he basically just said, you know, we can run like a certain type of plan through a database, and it'll spit out nationwide all the plans that his firm has some sort of audit crew on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, if he'll run that list for me, he goes, I know all the partners in these 8-9 different states, and I'll be happy to introduce you into those partners that are auditing those plans, and then start a conversation with the auditor on some services that we do offer on DB plans, in particular, defined benefit plans, and then sort of get the intro to the client through the auditor, through this partner in charge first. So I thought that was a pretty cool success story. The same CPA is, they have like a CPE week where they get all the accountants in this firm together once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big conference that they have at their corporate headquarters in Birmingham, Alabama. And so they'll have like 1,100, 1,200 CPAs that are all at their firm that are at this conference. And he got approval for us to speak, do like a 90-minute presentation at at their conference that's going to be next April 2019.
Okay.
And we're actually going to be presenting with one of our other business partners who you helped us kind of find on the insurance side, a guy named David Gasworth. And he's going to be presenting, and probably somebody from our group is going to be presenting along with him. And, but anyway, we're going to have a big audience of CPAs. So
your client conversations and everything.
Client conversations are going well. We took some RBC training that we did recently on enhancing the client experience, which was a pretty neat little one-day training that we did with some follow-up calls that are part of that. And it kind of blended that in with the Supernova model, and that's been, I think, we're in the early stages of doing that, but we had 3 or 4 meetings with clients this week where we were going over their wealth plan and things, incorporating that, and they were really, really some of the best meetings we've ever had. In fact, a couple of clients even made a comment, this is the best meeting we've ever had. So we're using the agendas, we're using the calls, we're doing the follow-ups, the emails, and right now our big push is with the clients, and it really came out of the Supernova calls, is long-term care. And we've got like 20 different households. I just got off the phone with one doing our monthly call before this call. And, you know, and we're getting a lot of traction, and we should have a lot of, and we're probably looking at writing somewhere between 15 and 20 long-term care cases in the next quarter off of that activity. So, but it's a process, you know, it takes like 60 to 90 days to do all the paperwork, get through the system, all that kind of stuff. So, but everything seems, I mean, at least from my perspective, it seems to be going well. I don't know how Bridget sees it. I think Audra, if she were here, she'll listen to the call replay. She's been doing a lot of help and bringing some really good ideas to the table. I think she's probably, as far as the strategic mind on the team, well, Bridget does too. I mean, I'll speak to those two points. Bridget, well, I'm going to talk about Audra and I'll talk about Bridget. Audra came up with a really good idea. She said, we've got the CPA that we've worked with for 15 years. It's the one that I just talked about. And she said, what if we were to go to him and build like a lunch and learn series for his, for the offices in this region, which is like three or four offices in that region, of which he's the partner in charge of these things, and put together a series on business wealth planning for closely held business owners, helping them with their planning needs in regards to, do I transfer my business to the next generation? Do I sell it? And just come up with maybe four or five different lunch and learn topics, go in once a quarter and offer them CPE, provide them lunch, do a little lunch and learn, bring in our JV, CFT planning specialists and investment bankers and different specialists to present to them over lunch and have like a working lunch. And we wanted to sit down with him and kind of develop the content for that. She wanted to use him as kind of like a beta test for that program, where we take it out to different CPAs of clients that we are, you know, CPAs for existing clients, honestly, start there and just say, you know, they're in non-busy season, contact them and say, hey, we'll be happy to bring this. This service to you and your other associates, and potentially build a network that way through our existing CPA channels, using business succession planning as the first topic, and then we have other topics that we could put in the quiver for that, and get his feedback on what he thinks CPAs would like to see, because it's a little different target market. I mean, we don't all.
Do you have like a lawyer in the mix? Yeah, do you have a lawyer in the mix?
We do, we do. He's actually an attorney slash CFP who is a planning specialist within our firm. And I could get other attorneys in the mix. Like next week I'm meeting with one of our clients. We have an attorney who's a partner at Clarkhill Strasburger. And if we wanted to bring an outside attorney in, we could. You know, I know if two or three outside attorneys that we could bring into that session if we wanted to.
Yeah, because you almost have the makings of a mastermind group with yourself, the CPA, the attorney, where everybody is working, you know, obviously for the good of the client, but also to help and promote each other's businesses.
Well, that's right. And this one attorney who's been really helpful with one of our clients, and she's a CPA and attorney and specializes in mergers and acquisitions. She, I set up a meeting between she and our investment banking specialist who's been, you know, helpful. I've worked with him for like 7 or 8 years. We're all going to meet together next month, around mid-month.
Okay.
So we're kind of building that network. You know, building that little, whatever you want to call it, mastermind group or whatever.
Yeah.
We're just kind of laying the groundwork for that, but we've got the right pieces in place, and it's just a matter of sort of building out those relationships over time.
Good.
Anyway, so Bridget had, let me go to Bridget. That was Audra's idea. Bridget had a really good idea. What she did was she put together a database of all of the publicly traded companies in Texas. That's like 325 companies. Most of these companies are not companies that you've heard of. I mean, AT&T's in the mix, obviously, and ExxonMobil and all the big companies that you think of as being Texas-based companies. But most of these companies are publicly traded and you've never heard of them. And so we've got the CFO's contact name, email address, phone number, address, all this stuff. And it's sorted by industry. And we're taking a cloud-based software solution called Solium that's been developed outside of RBC. And I've gone through some training on that program. It's basically a stock record-keeping system for companies that are wanting to keep track of their incentive stock awards and any kind of equity positions that are owned internally by insiders within the company. So I think we kind of talked about that a little bit in prior calls, but you know, we've got the contact info there. We're working our COIs. It's a process. And so one of the other things that we did was we developed a list of auditors that specialize in a particular type of retirement plan. And there's about 40 different audit firms that we've targeted. And we're going to go to those auditors. Like we're doing with the CPA firm, that's going to be very specific to that type of audit to see, you know, can we save you time or money on your audit? Let's take a look at the plan and see what we can do. Okay. Kind of thing. So that's what we're doing.
How's your bandwidth with all that you have going on right now?
Well, it's better now than it was a year ago. And the reason for that is because, you know, up until about 3 weeks ago, maybe even in the last, the last month, up until that time, Audra was working in the practice about 4 or 5 hours a month.
Right.
Just wasn't here that much. For a variety of reasons, but I won't go into all the details on that. Her dad's situation and her health situation and a bunch of other things have really kind of gelled in a positive way. And, you know, I mean, yeah, we know that the ultimate, you know, he's going to die and it won't be that much longer. But she's really in a good place to where she now can take on these 30 accounts, roughly 35 accounts that are ERISA-based accounts. Right. And so I've had to invest a lot of time and energy this year in kind of getting it to where it's at a point to where I can train her on some things that I've done in the past and transfer those duties and responsibilities over to her so that she's really owning those accounts as opposed to just kind of helping out on them.
Right.
And when we do that, we free up 35 slots.
There you go.
And she can handle those 35 plus the planning work and stay under the 20-hour limit that she has as an IA. But she's really, you know, taking that initiative and running with it.
Okay.
And with that, that's what's going to free up the time to allow me to really spend time with the COIs and do all the other marketing stuff. Because if you take those 35 off the plate, then that leaves us with about 65 on my plate. Of which I would say 35 are really driving the ship from a revenue standpoint.
Right.
About half of those other 40 are related party accounts, like daughters and family members. And so, you know, I can handle, say, 50, you know, relationships and then be into heavy-duty marketing. But carrying 105 and doing heavy duty marketing, well, you know the answer to that. The answer to that. So we had to find a way to get from 105 down to 50, and Audra's our ticket. So
Okay, good. Well, one of the things that, and this is all good, very, very good. I appreciate you sharing that with me. One of the things I did is I sent you, obviously, the matrix on client acquisition. And all that is just a reminder of your capabilities, the things that you can do. But before I get to the matrix, I went and did just a little research on corporate executive services, and you're going to add that as one of your niche markets. Bridget is already, doing some of the back end work for you. So what I did is I put the bullets on a one sheet in terms of the things that you're going to have to get familiar with or use, a collaborative effort, to help you, with this. And so, just to go through the bullets which I sent to you, as you begin to kind of share part of your value proposition with this particular niche, it's about, also managing, the equity awards, and performance plans. So that's one iota. One of the things, at Merrill as an executive, half my comp was paid in, restricted stock, restricted units, and stock options. And then of course there was the contributory 401k, and then there was the stock purchase plan, which allows you to buy stock at a 15% discount. And then, so there's a whole rollout to key executives, and then underneath that, you have all the other employee participation. So that's what you have there. Then the next bullet was executing transactions in compliance with SEC rules. And that's basically your Rule 144 sales, making sure that the 48-hour rule, that there's the rules in place for control people and when they can sell. After the announcements of material, information to the public. And then of course there's diversification strategy, really, really important. The company doesn't generally like people to ever sell, into the market because they want all of the executives to believe in the company. And to sell the stock sends a message out to the public that questions, their belief. Now, the flip side of that, and you got plenty of stories, the flip side of that is, I'll give you just a personal, when Merrill went down significantly from $95 to $3.50 a share, employees own 35% of the stock. Well, we lost a boatload of money, and of course, B of A bailed them out, and the stock stayed depressed for about four or five years. Never recovered at the previous highs. And so that's the flip side of what can happen when you have concentrated stock positions. So you want to be familiar with that. So helping the participants manage their equity awards. Generally speaking, oftentimes companies, if they don't have it in place, they allow you 25% of the restriction goes off, every 4 years, and the stock is typically restricted for 4 years. So they usually have 25% coming due each year thereafter. Then there's the implementing Rule 10b-5 trading plan, which is the systematic selling or purchasing of company stock, which you work that out with, you know, the general counsel's office. So, you know, you get close to those folks. The officer and director equity service, which helps them meet their time constraints that are imposed on reporting, you know, the sales of the company stock to the SEC. Pre-trade verifications and timely accurate reporting of open market purchases and sales by corporate insiders. Generally, that is handled by the general counsel's office. Then, of course, they all need comprehensive wealth management, because they've got concentrated positions. They've got wealth that doesn't appear, you know, on a brokerage statement. So they're going to need those services. And so those were kind of the, some of the bullets of things that you would be familiar with as you go in and communicate with executives at these public companies as you begin to build, you know, your expertise in this area.
Can I
throw something for you? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just some backdrop here that might be helpful, and I want to maybe even follow up with you at another time when we're not in the midst of a call. But there's been two people that really, well, I mentioned Bridget on that earlier, but there's two other people that really stepped it up and I think can make this an executable idea for us.
Okay.
Because you know, the 144 and all the different restrictions and rules, and, you know, this is one of those areas that, I mean, it gets human resources involved, it gets the finance department involved, it gets the legal department involved. It's like the one area of corporate services where they don't just pigeonhole it and say, okay, you know, controller, this is your area to take care of. They get all the, at least those three groups of the corporation involved. And there's a guy that's with RBC that's been incredible. He's in the Bay Area, and he works in our corporate and executive services group. His name's Colin Anthony. And he knows the intricacies of all these things that you know that I don't know. And he's teaching me it as I go. Now, I've done some 144, and I've sold some concentrated stock positions and dealt with stock legends and done Ford collars and or Ford sales and collars, concentrated stock positions. But a lot of the SEC rules are not something that I have any knowledge in, right? But Colin's teaching me that, okay? So we've got him over there in our San Francisco office. And I know him personally, and we just kind of clicked. And he's like, you know, I'm going to take you under my wing and help you here. There's another guy named Mark Ioli, I-O-L-I. I've never met an Ioli before, but Mark's an Ioli.
And he's
actually one of the founders of the company that developed Solium.
Okay.
He's been with them for 12 years. It's a cloud-based solution. It's just the only people that we really can't compete against right now is Fidelity in a situation where Fidelity has both the stock program and the 401k retirement plan. He said trying to get that unseated out of a corporation, he said, is really a waste of your time.
Yeah.
But he said everything else that's out there, he said, including Merrill Lynch, who's a big leader in this area, he goes, we just smoked the doors off of them.
Wow.
He goes, we just smoked the doors off of them. And he was very complimentary of RBC in terms of their relationship with Solium. And he said they're the easiest firm on the street to work with. So there's a lot of, I think there's a competitive advantage where we could go to some of these smaller companies that are publicly traded and say, look, you know, we're bringing you a world-class solution here. And if I didn't have a Colin, you know, to help me through some of the intricacies of the details of all that, I don't think I'd try it, honestly.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're bringing a Fortune 500 strategy and capability to the Fortune 1000.
That's right. You got it.
That's kind of how I would be communicating it.
Okay.
Because, you know, they all want to see themselves as kind of bigger and important. And when you say,
well, yeah. ExxonMobil and a number of, I mean, there's a couple of big clients of Solium. ExxonMobil's one of them. You know,
you're
using ExxonMobil, the same system they use at ExxonMobil to handle their executive awards. And it's a very slick system. I mean, I sat through the demo for the first time yesterday.
Okay.
And I was pretty impressed. It was very straightforward, very easy to understand, and I think we can sell it. I really do. I don't see any reason why we can't. It's just going to be a matter of getting our foot in those doors, and we're going to start.
But if you can do those DD plans, you can do this.
Well, yeah, that's what I said, you know, to somebody the other day. I go, you know, I didn't know 401k when I started in. I didn't know defined benefit plan when I started in. I didn't know cash balance plans when I started in. Most people won't touch that stuff, so it's so complicated. I just need somebody like a Colin who speaks my language that can explain it to me and not, you know, get all
technical,
nerdy on me.
I think that's a fantastic opportunity. You'd probably be one of a few FAs in that market that would be doing this type of business. That's a major differentiator for you.
Well, I mean,
I like
thing
it.
Too, and this is something I didn't know until Mark Ioli pointed it out to me. But he goes, you know, your background in the retirement plans is going to really help you, because he goes, if you can also either get the retirement plan first and then talk in our stock award, we can do it with private companies too. They said, we'll take a company as small as 5 people that's a private company. So we can, if you've got a company that may IPO in, say, 6 or 7 years and are privately owned and are wanting to keep track of their stock awards that is, you know, isn't even publicly traded yet, they handle that with the same ease as the publicly traded shares.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful thing, because it allows us to, I mean, imagine going to your CPA group and having this be a lunch and learn after you talk to them about business succession planning and say, hey, you have any small business owners out there that maybe have closely held stock, they're keeping it on a spreadsheet.
Right.
And, you know, it's fraught with error. Mm-hmm. What if we brought you a system that would, you know, save your people time and money? I mean, you're not going to listen to that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, to see if it might be a fit, and so it's just a great, great tool, and it works well whether they're publicly traded or privately held.
Right.
And, I think it's a great conversation starter.
I really think that you're really, really onto something, and you know, I think you should jump out there and do it. So. Let's see. So we covered that. I wanted to, and as much as you want to share going forward, feel free to do so. On the client acquisition matrix, this is just really kind of a reminder, you know, about a number of things that you already have in place, you know, enthusiastic endorsement of people that you're working with, CPAs, lawyers, so on and so forth, giving these big relationships an opportunity to stick a toe in the water with you via the 90-day free look. You're going to get some unsolicited referrals just because of your presence in the market. But continue to develop the centers of influence. And quite frankly, if you have, you know, really 3 really, really good ones, that's saying a lot. You know, and if you get more than that and move to 4 or 5, the key thing with centers of influence is, you know, staying on top of them, you know, in terms of, you know, they get a folder, you get a folder, they're aware of the things that you're doing. Then the four-member mastermind group, you are beginning to, you know, you're beginning to kind of create one on a de facto basis, so that's good. Now, I'm not saying that you have to work all these seven acquisition strategies, but you're already in there. Audra loves the community piece, so, you know, she's got that one. You're creating your niche market, which is your pension work, your philanthropic services, and your corporate services. That is like kind of enough, I think, for now. The social media component, on our next call, I'll spend a little more time with you on the social media component. And what that really amounts to is, you know, how many monthly views are you getting, and are you across, you know, posting, you know, your CPAs and good clients with who they're networked with on social media. So I put together a sheet of capabilities on social media, so I don't want to throw too much at you to begin with, but we can cover that one. This VIPSA referral method, I think is really a key cornerstone to your efforts. You know, where when you're sitting down with an existing client, and you start with, you know, what do you value from the relationship? And let them give you the feedback. And what you want to hear is, I like your follow-up, I like your service, the client experience is exceptional. You know, those kinds of things. And then you want to clarify, you know, in terms of priorities, you know, from one to five, what's the most important to you? And so you talk about that. And then if I could make a suggestion, you know, or who would you suggest that, you know, we should be speaking with? And that's what the S stands for. And then when you get to the P component, it's basically, with your permission, I'd like to brainstorm. You know, how should I go about meeting this person? Are you willing to make a personal introduction? And then the A is always asking for advice, because the advice component makes people feel good. It kind of says to them that you respect them enough to ask for their advice. How should I go about communicating with this individual? Or is there something in particular I need to know in terms of how I should handle this situation? And that's really your VIPSA, you know, referral methodology, which is kind of a tag on to, you know, after you've had a review with a client. And then once you have that meeting, and remember, we want personal introductions. We don't want to, hey, here's a phone number, right, call this guy.
Right.
And personal introduction. And then, if need be, offer them the 90-day free look, plug them into your scheduler, in your calendar, and treat them as if they were a client. And that's what that's all about. So, if you're looking at this sheet periodically, it's just a reminder of your business development activities.
Got it. Okay. Quick question, if I may.
Sure.
And I want to be respectful of your time, because I know we're at 5 minutes after, and you may have other appointments and stuff. But
I've got a hard stop at 10:15, so we've got 10 minutes.
I'll take about two. Okay.
Okay.
Audra today
was really looking forward to being on the call. This sort of thing where she needed, he's 2.5 hours away. So this all kind of got sprung on us last night because of this condition and not really knowing what was going to be next. We knew what was next, but we didn't know the timing of it, you know?
Okay.
And she didn't want him to be alone with the caregivers when he's having the procedure done. So, and so she, but prior to the call, on the SNPSA issue, which I think is going in exactly the two directions where we need, the timing is perfect and we need the most help. So I applaud you for that. But Otter had some questions regarding referrals that she wanted, that she had literally typed into her phone and saved for today's call.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I didn't, in the midst of all this going on and making sure she was okay and getting her out the door and getting to work and all this other stuff, I forgot to get that off of her phone. So if you could just make sure that we remember to lead off next month's call with that, because you're going to be talking about referrals and DISPA anyway. And I don't know the wording and the exact gist of her question, but I do know she had an idea on referrals, and I said, well, bring that up with Curtis, because I think he'll be able to guide you a lot better than I will, because you know and I know this is not our strong suit, but we can get there. We can, with the right coaching and the right, you know.
You absolutely can get there. Yeah.
But we're not there yet. And she had some ideas, and unfortunately, you know, like I said, I wasn't able to get that from her. So let's make sure we pick up on that. On the virtual presence, our website and this whole rebranding that we discussed in the earlier part of this call, our website is going to be updated and supposed to be completed by next week. So we've got corporate working on that in Minneapolis, and the folks there, although they're new to the position, have been doing a fantastic job. We've got that coming along with our marketing piece. It's going to go on the mini news folders that speaks to this whole rebranding of corporate executive services. So it's kind of a branching out. And honestly, I was concerned that we had too many niches, but in your prior calls, you helped me sort of solidify that in a way to where I could then in turn communicate that back to our marketing people. And then with Aoli and Colin's help, you know, I've been able to solidify that, hey, that, you know, this past retirement plan experience actually parlays extremely well with the stock plan service, and it actually allows us to kind of tell our story in a new way to a new market and still keep our old clients and our old market intact simultaneously, which is huge for us from a branding standpoint. And we couldn't have gotten there and even gotten to that conversation without your help. Because I'm one of those guys, I mean, I get so damn deep in the weeds on something, I'll never get out of the weeds, you know? So I really, really appreciate you getting us to that point. And that's all I got to say. I think I took about 3 minutes. Three or four.
Well,
but
no,
we're doing all right. You know, we're going to be fine. Getting the accounts reassigned to Audrey is going to be a big damn deal, honestly.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many hours in the day. And so she's like, man, I'm ready to take it. She goes, my dad may be in this horrible condition, but she said, man, I've never been more fired up. I've never been more excited about this business. I've never been more excited about our team, the direction we're going in, and the help we're getting. So she's like, man, bring it, you know. So anyway, that's all I got, unless Bridget's got something, but, you know, that's where we are.
You got anything, Bridget?
All I got is an amen.
Okay. Well, you know, Here's one of the things that I'm happy to do. Look, if Audra, and you can mention this to her, if she wants to set up a half-hour call with me, independent of the monthly call, I'm happy to do that. Just have her send me an email on a range of time that might work for her. Okay? And she and I, we can have a individual call, and we can cover those items that are on the phone and the referral methodology. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yep.
So just have her send me an email on a range of some times that might work, and I'll be happy to accommodate her.
We really appreciate it, Curtis. Thank you.
Yeah. Look, you know, things happen, and you know, she's had her hands full, and I just want to be accommodating, you know, to what she's you know, going through. So, you know, please, you know, definitely tell her it's not an issue. Don't feel like that it's an imposition. I want to do this.
Please send our best to Pat, too, even though we don't know each other. And hopefully later this year I can get out to California and we can meet face-to-face. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be terrific. So, look, appreciate, you know, everything that you are moving toward and what your team is accomplishing. And, you know, I look forward to our next call. So
have a
great rest of the week.
You too, and thanks for your flexibility.
Right. Oh, no problem. No worries. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.